Our scripture today comes from two places. First from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and then from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. So from 1 John chapter 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." And then from Revelation chapter 7. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to You. Give us eyes to see the world the way that You see it. Give us ears to hear Your voice, hearts to receive what You would give us today, and then make us bold. Make us bold as we go from this place to live out our faith as Your hands and feet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, today is All Saints Day. Actually, November 1 is All Saints Day, but this is the day on which we celebrate it. It conveniently follows October 31st, that's correct, okay, which we know as Halloween or All Hallows Eve. And as with many of our Christian holidays or holy days, our society has secularized them, taking the parts that they like and then what parts they can commercialize, they take those too. But then they leave behind, it seems, the deeper meaning with a lot of our holy days. I guess perhaps at times we do the same thing with our faith, don't we? We take the parts we like, and we leave the parts we don't. In the faith tradition that I grew up in, we really didn't celebrate holy days of the church. Perhaps that's why I especially appreciate these days now. Maybe you too grew up in a faith tradition that didn't really emphasize holy days like All Saints Day, Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, and there are others. Maybe you didn't grow up in a faith tradition at all, and all of this is foreign to you. I always thought, being from the outside, looking in, that holy days were just a bit too Catholic for me. They were just a bit too Catholic for me, until I began to dig just a little bit deeper. See, in the Catholic Church, they canonize saints, which is to say that they elevate individuals to a higher level of sainthood after their death, giving them the official designation as Saint so-and-so, like Thomas Aquinas, Mother Teresa has been canonized as a saint. And they believe that these individuals are also elevated to a higher position within the kingdom. Now, as Methodists, we don't canonize saints, okay? As a matter of fact, our founder, John Wesley, he strongly cautioned against the invocation of saints. He didn't see biblical evidence for doing so. However, he also discouraged his preachers from ignoring it altogether. He wrote in his journal regarding All Saints Day on one occasion, this was a day that he found comfortable. Another occasion, he wrote, this is a day that I particularly love. For some of us, we have the same feelings toward All Saints Day. Others, the loss of a loved one is particularly raw, and for us, this is a day of grieving. Regardless of which direction you're coming from, All Saints Day is a day of honor and remembrance. We celebrate. We celebrate the saints, the ordinary saints, with whom we have had the privilege of walking. We give thanks for lives that were well lived. And our faith, we all know our faith is shaped so much more by what we observe, by what is lived out before us, than we do by what we read or by what we're taught. So on this day, we remember with gratitude those individuals who helped to shape our faith. People like the grandmother who took us to Sunday school. Perhaps the grandfather whom you witnessed reading his Bible in his recliner or rocking chair. The aunt or uncle who would pick you up and take you to vacation Bible school every summer. The spouse who quietly lived out his or her faith through kindness and gentleness. The preschool teacher who taught you the song, Jesus Loves Me, and you never forgot that. The Sunday school teacher who challenged you to believe and claim your faith as your own. The youth worker who made sure that you didn't wander too far from God during your rebellious years. Perhaps a co-worker who invited you to return to church and give God another try. The choir director reached out to you and said, you know, the choir is just incomplete without you. Or the pastor who prayed with you when times got hard, or in the hospital to encourage you. Today is a day of honor and remembrance. It's a day to imagine. As people of faith, as Christians, we seem to live in this tension, don't we? We have this tension between what is the here and now and what will be, right? We live in that tension. Because Jesus told us the kingdom of God had come near, right? The kingdom of heaven is now. And as Christ followers, we're invited to be participants in the kingdom of God. We're called to invoke a world that we can only imagine. And just like all those saints that made it onto your list, as I referenced different individuals, many of you were going through the Rolodex of your life, remembering those saints who had an impact on your lives. They were heroes of your faith. Just like those people, you're called to influence the lives of others. Maybe you'll end up on somebody else's list. I mean, imagine a world of peace and joy. And that may be a stretch, right? Given the fact that we can turn on the news or scroll through our news feed, and all we get is a healthy dose of hatred and bitterness and violence. That's true. You may not be able to change the entire world and rid it of all of its negativity or eliminate its sins. But you can certainly change your world. And perhaps you can influence the world of those around you. If you want to imagine a world of peace and joy, they must flow from you. The peace of Christ and the joy of God must first flow into you before it can flow out of you. Now, making it onto somebody's list may seem a little bit self-serving, perhaps even arrogant. And while that is not your goal, to be someone who others consider a saint, making a difference in the life of another human being by humbly serving, actively loving, living out your faith before them, that should be the goal of every believer, shouldn't it? I mean, we should endeavor to have an active faith that points other people toward Jesus Christ. But in case you didn't know it, you're already a saint. Sort of. See, a saint is a holy individual, right? A person who has been set apart by God, whose life is celebrated. And if those are the standards, then you as a believer, you're already a saint because God has marked you as holy. God has set you apart. And you're made holy and righteous, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Your only task now is to go and live that out. And you can go and live a holy life, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Children of God, peace and joy flow into you and flow from you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, again, you may not be able to change the entire world, but you can transform your world. Passages that I read for you today to do just a little bit of cleanup. First one was from John's first epistle, the letter to the churches. Now, if John, I've shared this with you before, if he represented a sector or a group within our society, he has a hippie's heart, okay? Everything that you read about John is, it's all about the love of God, man. You know, can't we just all get along? They'll know we're Christians by our love. And this passage from 1 John is traditionally read at Methodist funerals because it kind of sums up the, we don't know entirely what we will be, but those who have finished the race, they have come face to face with Jesus. This is our future promise. This is good news. Now, the second passage that we read today is from Revelation, and that either gets you really excited or it kind of freaks you out a little bit because you don't really like the book of Revelation because you don't understand it. That's me some of the time. There's three basic groups of people whenever you look at Revelation, or three basic schools of thought. The first is the entire book of Revelation was written in code, okay? It was John's revelation and a letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor, okay? And it's all written in code to encourage them as they were being persecuted by the Roman government. This was a time of great tribulation. And all the references in battles between good and evil were what was taking place in the world right then and there. So that's the first school of thought. The second one is that the book's not really meant to be interpreted in light of specific events, but rather it's John's view of the world. The battle that's constantly taking place between good and evil, and its encouragement for us, for the future church, in the midst of the struggles that are to come, and the future promise of heaven is explained with great creativity. It's imagined with great creativity. The third is this is entirely a book of prophecy about the apocalypse, about the end of times. It's describing actual events that will take place in the last days, and the imagery in heaven is an actual description. Now, I share those three opinions as we talk about the passage today, not to confuse you, but to share with you that I think the book of Revelation is a bit of all three, okay? I'm just not entirely sure I'm smart enough to identify entirely which parts are which. I'm not sure it matters. See, John was painting a picture, much like an artist puts oil on a canvas to capture his interpretation of a scene or her vision of perfection. But how do you describe the indescribable God? How do you describe eternity in the presence of the indescribable God? See, this is the future promise. On this All Saints Day, imagine, along with John, what it will be like to be reunited with all the saints that have gone before us, take our place among the heavenly choir, robes of white, where we'll see our Savior face to face in all of His majesty and glory. And there we will worship God in eternal bliss, and there are no more tears, there's no more dying, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering. Imagine what it will be like for us to drink from the stream of living water and have God shield us from all of the imperfections of what was in the world. Imagine that world now exists today. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You sit next to saints. We stand on the shoulders of giants who have gone before us, imperfect people used by a perfect God. You are imperfect people being used by a perfect God. Today, we celebrate the saints as we worship the indescribable God. We give thanks for lives that were well lived and how they helped shape our faith in God. If you haven't thought already about this, who are the saints that helped to shape your faith? Remember and give thanks and then imagine.